Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, seven lines from the top of Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyo ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekosil ben Gittel, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shloimes Feiga, Chaim Yeshua Shmuel Daniel ben Nira Bela, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Ya'el Bas Bela, and Eliakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf's also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalo, Shloime Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So the Mishnah is continuing along the theme of the sixth parak of Masechta Shabbos, and that is things that a person, either man or woman, is not allowed to go outside with on Shabbos. Up to Mishnah, lo yetzeo ish, a man is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos, lo besayef, not holding a sword or carrying a sword, v'lo bekeshes, with a bow, v'lo betris, with a shield, v'lo ba'alo, we'll see what that means in the Gemara, v'lo beroimach, or with a spear, v'im yotze, and if he goes outside carrying these things on Shabbos, chayef chatas, meaning it's a bona fide hitzah, it's a hitzah midei reis, Rabbi Eliezer says, tachshitin heiloi, no, for a man to go outside holding a sword, for a man to go outside with his proverbial rifle, it actually makes him look handsome. For him, it's a tachshit. A woman wears jewelry. For a man, he wants to look strong. So Rabbi Eliezer said, to the extent it's a tachshit, there's no way in the world you can tell me it's a tzah. You're certainly not going to be chayiv chatas. Chum said, I disagree. No, it's not true. Ammunition or weapons is not considered a tachshit for a man, rather it's a gnai. How do I know that, Shinemar? Because the pasuk says, when it describes the end of days, Yeshaya Perek Beis, v'chitzu charvoisam li'itim, v'chanisoy sehem l'mazmeros. So Yeshaya Novi prophesied, and he said that in the end of days, there'll be no wars. And because there's going to be no wars, people aren't going to need their weapons anymore. In fact, he continued, he said, lo yisa goy al goy cherev, v'lo yilma duay mulchama. So the point is, tainim d'chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer, if you're going to tell me that it's a tachshit for a man to have weapons, so then why is it that in the end of days, people are going to take their weapons and they're going to turn them into kalim that they're going to plow with? Elamai, it's not a nice thing. Rather, it's a gnai. If that's the case, it would be considered carrying on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to get a little more into the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. Another halacha, biris, a garter that women would wear to keep their stockings up, tahira, meaning it's not mekabel tumah. V'yaitzim abe Shabbos, a woman's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Kfolim, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. Tmeim, they're tamei ve'en yaitzim abe Shabbos, meaning they're mekabel tumah, they're considered a keli. But at the same time, a woman is not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was, a man is not allowed to go outside on Shabbos carrying weapons. Lo yetzio ish, lo besayef, lo bekeshes, lo betris, says the Gemara, we know what everything in the Mishnah means, with the exception of Allah. So my Allah, what exactly is that? Says the Gemara, kulfa. So this was a short club that had a round top with pointy edges coming out. Either way, that's what the Allah means. Rabbi Eliezer, so we had a machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether it's okay for a man to carry these things on Shabbos or not. According to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to. In fact, v'im yotza, chayiv chatas. You're going to be chayiv chatas. Rabbi Eliezer said, it's not a chayiv chatas. No, tachshitin hein loy. What was the nekuda? What are they arguing about? According to Rabbi Eliezer, for a man, weapons is the equivalent of diamonds for a woman. It's a tachshit. According to the Chachamim, that's not the way it is. Says the Gemara. Tan. We learned that if you're right and you believe that weapons is considered a tachshit, it's the equivalent thereof of jewelry for a woman, then mipnei mahim b'teim lasa lovi. Why is it lasa lovi? They're not going to be around anymore. Amalem, so he told them, it's simply because they're not going to be needed. Meaning, to the extent it's necessary to carry a gun may be a tachshit. But to the extent that it's not necessary, then it's not necessary. Shenema, the pasuk says, la'yisa goy al goy cherev, v'la'yim aduay milchama, there won't be wars anymore. So Rabbi Eliezer said, don't bring me riots for what's going to happen in the end of days. Of course, people aren't going to carry it anymore. They're not going to need it. But to the extent you need it, it's considered a tachshit. Freit the Gemara, v'tahavu l'noi ba'amot. But Chachamim argued back to Rabbi Eliezer, at the end of the day, if you're right, a gun, a sword, a shield, a spear is a tachshit, then even if they're not going to need it, shouldn't they carry it just for it to make them look nice. Amar Abayas, Abaya said, midi dahava, ashraga b'tiara. That would be the equivalent of holding a candle in broad daylight. It makes no sense. So being that it makes no sense, that's why they're not going to have it. Zokta Gemara, this whole exchange between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, in terms of why it is that La'asa Lavei, when Mashiach's going to come, they are not going to need weapons, is upliga the Shmuel. It's inconsistent with something Shmuel said. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Ein beinu elu mazal leilam lemayis haMashiach ela shibud galius vavad." The only difference between nowadays and the time when Mashiach is going to come is shibud galius. Meaning, right now we don't have our own memshala. You know, la'asud lavoi malchus based David is going to be restored. But Shmuel said that difference is actually the only difference between Olam Hazeh and Yemos HaMashiach. How do Shmuel know that? He said he learned it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kilo yechtal evyoin mikarev haaretz," and it sounds like even in Yemos HaMashiach, meaning during Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be poor people? That doesn't make sense. The teretz is, "Ein bein ha'olam hazeh li'yemos HaMashiach, ela shibud galus bovah." The point is, the discussion that the Gemara brought, this Braisa, where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are discussing the fact that people won't carry weapons, La'asa Lavei, people won't carry weapons when Mashiach comes. Why? Because the Navi Yeshaya said, "Lo yisa goy al goy cherev, v'lo yilmadu oid milchama." That is clearly in disagreement with what Shmuel said. Because according to Shmuel, "Ein bein oid l'mazal l'moysa Mashiach, elo shibud galias bavad." You're going to need weapons. It's just that there won't be shibud galias anymore. But they'll potentially be wars if the Tanoim, the Braises of the opinion that there'll be no wars be Moshe Mashiach, clearly this is a plig of the Shmuel. We're going to get back to this. Says the Gemara, "Seilei the Reb Chiya Bar Abba." And in fact, if it's plig of the Shmuel, it supports something Reb Chiya Bar Abba said. "Dam Reb Chiya Bar Abba, kol anavim linus navu, elu li Moshe Mashiach, all the nevuah," such as Yeshaya Perek Beis, "lo yisa goyal goy cherev, v'lo yimadu oyim l'chamil," was all referring to Moshe Mashiach. "Abad l'oylam haba," as it relates to oylam haba, "ayin lo yirasa l'kimtzu l'asecha." For that, we have another pasuk, also a pasuk in Yeshaya. Not Yeshaya Perek Beis, but rather Yeshaya Perek Samach Dalet. "Ayin loyrasa likimzu lasecha yasa lemachakaloi." That even the Nevi'im couldn't comprehend "ayin loyrasa" what Olam Haba is going to look like. Meaning, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said that, "I disagree with you, Shmuel. Shmuel, you're saying ein bein olam hazeh liyemos haMashiach elo shibud galus bavad, as if to say that when Mashiach comes, the world's going to be pretty much the way it is right now. I disagree. Kol haNeviim leNisnavu elo liyemos haMashiach. You want to know what the world's going to look like when Mashiach comes? Open up the Neviim. Look at all the divrei nechama that the Neviim spoke about. The wolf and lamb are going to live peacefully together. Or the pasuk that our Gemara quotes, la yisa goyel goy cherev la yilmadu oy nechama. That's precisely referring to liyemos haMashiach. Says the Gemara, some say, "Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Chamim told Rabbi Eliezer, chiyachet chashitin hein loy b'mnahim b'teilun l'mayis haMashiach." So some weaved this discussion into the machloikas Rabbi Eliezer the Chachamim, meaning the Chamim told Rabbi Eliezer what they told him in the Mishnah, that if it's tachshit to carry these things, that's why it's not considered carrying on Shabbos. So why won't they be around when Mashiach's going to come? And so told him, "After l'mayis haMashiach hein b'teilun." It's not true. Meaning in the Mishnah and in the first verse. So what was Rabbi Eliezer's response? His response was, "People aren't going to carry when Mashiach comes. Won't be necessary." Lo yisa goyel goy cherev. In this answer, he said just the opposite. No, I disagree with your premise. Who told you no weapons when Mashiach comes? They will be. The Hainu de Shmuel, because he held like Shmuel. He held, "Ein bein oylem hazeh liyemos haMashiach, elo shibud galus bavad." And if that's the case, we'll plead Reb Chiya Bar Abba. He doesn't hold like Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Reb Chiya Bar Abba said that all the Nevi'im, their nevuos were describing when Mashiach comes. Rabbi Eliezer disagreed with that. In other words, according to this version, the machloikis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, whether or not weapons are considered a tachshit or not considered a tachshit, is precisely the machloikis between Shmuel and Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Whether the nevuah of lo yisa goyel goy cherev lo yimadu oy milchama v'chitzu charvoisam li'itim v'chaniso yseim l'mazmeres, is that referring to when Mashiach's going to come? That's what the Chachamim held. So they tain it. Isn't this the biggest raya that the weapons are not considered a tachshit? Rabbi Eliezer, hell no, that's referring to La'asa Lavei. It's referring to Olam Haba. So if it's referring to Olam Haba, if that's the case, it's not a right. So just before we go back, and we're going to get back to this in the Raid Bites, but just before we go back, just so we understand a little better what we're talking about, the Gemara is distinguishing between two tkufos, two eras that are going to happen at some point in the future. One is Yemos HaMashiach, the other one is Olam Haba. Olam Haba and Yemos HaMashiach are not the same thing. You say in davening on Shabbos, "Ein aroich l'cha Hashem elokeinu b'olam hazeh." Bein zu lascha mal keinu lechaya oilu ma ba. Efes piltucho gaelein ilu moysa mashiach. Vein doyme lecha mashiyenu lechias amesim. You have oilu ma ba. You have oilu ma ze. You have yumoysa mashiach. And you have tchias amesim. The Torah Schaim in the beginning of Perek Chelik says these are four tkufos, four phases of existence that this world is going to go through. Oilu ma ze, that's where we are now. But there's a lot to look forward to. There's going to be a Moshe Mashiach. There's going to be a Tkufa of Tchias HaMesim. There's going to be a Tkufa of Olam Haba. This is a discussion that's above my pay grade. It's a discussion that the Gemara talks a little bit about. In the beginning of Perek Chelek, we've dabbled in it a little over the years. But the point is, says the Gemara, the Nevuos, all the Nevuos that we read, all the Divrei, the Shiva de Nechemta, some of the Nevuos that we're very familiar with, what Tkufa are they describing? Are they describing what the world's going to look like when Mashiach comes? Or are they describing Olam Haba, which is not Yemos HaMashiach? Olam Haba is some world that we're going to visit in the future. So what is it? Is it Yemos HaMashiach or is it Olam Haba? And clearly that was a major, major machlokes amayiram. Shmuel on one side and Reb Chiya bar Abba on the other side. Shmuel was of the opinion all those nevuos were describing Olam Haba. Yemos HaMashiach ain bein Olam Hazel Yemos HaMashiach el Shibud Golias Bovat. Reb Chiya bar Abba said no. Kol Anaviim lo Nisnavu el Yemos HaMashiach. Just the opposite. The Nevuahs are describing Yemos HaMashiach. What about Olam Haba? Olam Haba says, no one knows what Olam Haba looks like. Ayin le'irah, so alikim zula secha, yasa le'mechakelai, we wait for it. But in terms of what exactly it is, that's not something anybody knows. Again, we're going to get back to this in Metz Hashem at the end of the daf. So, Abaye told Rav Dimi. Famigla, some say the Rav Avya that Abaye told Rav Avya. Famigla, Rav Yosef, the Rav Dimi. Some say Rav Yosef told Rav Dimi. Famigla, the Rav Avya. Some say Rav Yosef told Rav Avya. Famigla, and yet others say that Abaye said it to Rav Yosef. So we have five versions of who said this to who. Okay, what did they say? My time of the Rav Eliezer, the Amma Tachshit in Hele. What's the Makar Rav Eliezer? Rav Eliezer hold a weapon, it's a Tachshit, it's a piece of jewelry. You need a Makar for that. So he said, Dechsev, it's learned from the following Pasuk. Tehillim Perik Memhe. So the Pasuk is talking to the Gibor and says, Chagor charbecha al yorech, hold your sword on your thigh. Hoidcha v'hadorecha. This is your beauty. So you see, it's a tachshit. It's something that makes somebody look nice. Amar Rav Kahana l'Mar Brei, the Rav Huna. So Rav Kahana heard this. So he told Mar Brei, the son of Rav Huna, I always learned that pasuk is referring to Torah. That pasuk doesn't mean literally the gibor as in the warrior. And it doesn't mean he has his sword next to his thigh. But rather, it's referring to Torah. Actually says, a Talmud Chacham, that chazers, whatever. But it's referring to a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't mean a real gibor. So how could Rabbi Eliezer learn his halacha from there? Amalei. So Mar Berei the Ravina told Rav Kahana, "Ein mikro yoytzim idei pshutai." It's true, Chazal darshan that pasuk that the gibor is a Talmud Chacham. But at the end of the day, "Ein mikro yoytzim idei pshutai." And what's the pashim shan in the pasuk? The pashim shan in the pasuk, of course, is talking about the gibor. I'm Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana made a fascinating comment. Another thing we'll get back to later in the daf. Kadavina bar tamni srishin. When I was 18 years old, I finished shas. So apparently there was Shas in Rav Kahana's times, even though Rav Kahana is a key member in Shas, but apparently there was a concept of Rav Kahana finishing Shas. So he said, I was 18 years old when this story happened. I knew Shas. But I didn't know that Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutai had Hashto until now. Says the Gemara, Maika Mashmalon. Either way, why is that significant? What was Rav Kahana trying to say? This is just like a nice FYI, a fun fact, by the way. You just want to know the rest of the story of Rav Kahana. He was 18, knew Shas, and didn't realize that all the drushes that Chazal made weren't coming to be mafkia the pashim shat, but at the end of the day, there's the pashim shat, and then there's the drush, right? Paradise, pshat, remez, drush, and soy. Rav Kahana didn't know that when he was 18. The significance is that this is important in Hilchas Talmud Torah. It's important when it comes to a person developing his derech halimud. Deligomer inish v'hadali saver. Meaning, you think sometimes when you learn that you have to understand it 100% and you can't go weiter unless you understand it 100%. Rav Kahana was coming to teach us something important. He said that I learned Shas, I went through and there was so much I didn't know and it was fine. Eventually, it became Rav Kahana. But for now, at this point, Rav Kahana said I went through it and there was something even basic, something fundamental that I could know, but it's good you kind of you did this and then you revisit it and you start understanding it a little bit better. Simin Zara. So we just mentioned now a pasuk in Tehillim Perek Memhe. Chagor charbecha al yorech gibor hoitcha v'adorecha. The Gemara now is going to digress And then it's going to digress from its digression, and we're going to have a whole bunch of Haggadah to Gemara now that really has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So just so we don't lose focus of where we all begin, where this sugya began, we're discussing Rabbi Eliezer's sheet in the Mishnah, that if a man carries a sword, or a bow and arrow, or a shield, or a club, or a spear, it's not considered Hoitzah on Shabbos. Because for the man, his weapons are the equivalent thereof of jewelry for a woman. If a woman carries jewelry on Shabbos, she wears jewelry, she's not over Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. This is a Derabbanan issue. She may take it off and show it to her friend. But in terms of the Deiraisa, it's not considered carrying. These things are for the man, like jewelry is for the woman. What's the Makar? So the Gemara said the Makar is a Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Memhe. Chagor Charbecha al Yorech Gibar. The Pasuk tells the Gibar, carry your sword with pride, because it makes you look beautiful. It makes you look handsome. So you see this concept that it's a tachshit. Rav Kahana said, I didn't realize that's Pashup Shat. Regardless, the Gemara now is going to digress and discuss some psukim in Tehillim Perek Memhe. Simmons asks, Amrav Yirmi, Amrav Alos, Shtel Tamid HaChamim, HaMechadin Zelazet Baloch. You have two Tamid HaChamim, they learn together with Chavrusa, and each one sharpens the other one. Meaning, rather than each one learning in his own little corner, in his own vinkel, they learn together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make them extra successful. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'hadorcha Tzilach. Where do you see that in this pasuk? Al tikra v'hadorcha elo v'chadodcha. So the hey becomes a ches, and the second rei in the reish becomes a dalet. So we go from hadar to chadod. Hadar means beautiful. Chadod means to be mechadet. If two tamid chachamim are mechadet each other, that's gonna cause atzlacha. Not just that, elo shayim l'gdula. They're gonna become great. These two tamid chachamim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'hadorcha tzlach, and right afterwards it says rechav. They're gonna ride on a chariot. Like Mordechai in the Purim story. I would think that this is true even if they learn Shalai Lashma. Talmud Loimer, the Pasuk continues and says, Al Dvar Emes, only if they're learning for the right reasons. Yochel and Higis Daitai, I would think even if they become Bali Gaiva from their learning, they'll be very successful. Talmud Loimer, Va'anva Tzedek. No, it has to be with humility. Then Oisenkain, if they're going to do this, Oichel and Toshin Ibiyamin, they're going to merit Torah, which was given with the right hand of a Kaddish Baruch Shem, as the Pasuk says, V'sarcha Neiroz Yaminecha. Either way, that's the end of that Pasuk. Again, why are we talking about this Pasuk? Because that's Tehillim Mem Hei Pasuk Hei. The previous Pasuk, Tehillim Mem Hei Pasuk Dawud, was Chagor Char Bechal Yorech Gibar Hoitcha V'Hadarech. Zok the Gemara. Rav Nachum Yitzchok Amar, Rav Nachum Yitzchok said that if these two Tamid HaChamim, they sharpen each other, they learn together, they do it with humility, they learn it Lishma, Zoichem L'Dvarim Shenema B'Yemino Shel Torah. They're going to be Zoichem to the things that a person gets when he learns Torah with his right, so to speak. What does that mean? So we all know this pasuk. Arich yamin, arichas yamin is on the right of the Torah. The smaller to the left is Oishav v'chavetz. The Gemara says, "Elo b'mina Oirech Yomim Iko Oishav v'chavetz Leko." It sounds like to the right, all you have is Arichas Yomim. You don't have Oishav v'chavetz. What's going on over here? Elo l'mayiminim ba. Someone that approaches Torah from the right side, Oirech Yomim Iko, he's going to have Arichas Yomim, and not just that, the Kolshkin Oishav v'chavetz. He's certainly going to get Oishav v'chavetz. Masmilim ba. If somebody approaches it from the left side, Oishav v'chavetz Iko, he's going to have Oishav v'chavetz, but Oirech Yomim Leko, Arichas Yomim, he's not going to have. So a person could learn Torah from the right side, he can learn it from the left side. There's the Mayaminimba and there's the Masmi'ilimba. What's the difference? From the Mamyinimba, it's Oirech Yamin and Oisha V'chavit. For the Masmi'ilim, all it is Oisha V'chavit. So, what are these two things? What does it mean, Lamayaminimba? For Lasmi'ilimba. So, Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat, Rashi says, Lamayaminimba is a person learns Torah with his right hand. His right hand is his stronger hand. He's all in when he learns. He's completely invested. He puts in all his kaiches. That's Lamayaminimba. The Masmi'ilimba is he does it with his left hand. She'en yigeyim bahen kol tzarchan. He doesn't give it 100%. That's the difference. Inami, mayaminim ba is oiskin lishma. Masmi'ilim ba is oiskin shaloi lishma. Amar Rab Yirmiya, Amar Rab Shimon ben Lakish. She'en tabidu chaman leichem zelaz abal locho. If you have two tamidu chachamim, they learn together. But they learn in a nice way. They're noye kovid zebuzeh. They're noichin zelazeh bahalocha. Kadosh Baruch Hu makshav. Kadosh Baruch Hu sits down and he pays attention to what they're saying. Hashem is their audience. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Oz nidbru yirei Hashem ish esreyeu. So the yirei Hashem ish esreyeu, they were learning together. Hashem paid attention. Now, what do you see from here that they were learning nicely? Shnei tamid chachamim hanoichin zelazeh bahalacha. So the Gemara says, "Because ein dibur ela nachas." The word dibur sometimes means nachas. Shenemar yadber amim tachtenu. So if you look at the end of the pasuk, It says, Vayishma, Hashem will pay attention to these two Talmid Chacham I'm learning. Vayikosav Sefer Zikaron L'Fanav, he's going to write down what they're learning. L'yirei Hashem u'l'chosh v'shamay. So what does it mean, l'chosh v'shamay? If a person has a machshava tovah to do a mitzvah, and then an oinus happens, he doesn't end up doing it. It's considered as if he did. If a person does a mitzvah perfectly, so he gets the mitzvah right, he's never going to hit psuris rois. The pasuk says, shomer mitzvah. If a person protects a mitzvah, he watches a mitzvah, he does it right, lo yeda dovera. I mean, we're going through these gemaras as if there's nothing to say. Every line gemara is a raid bite, but it is what it is. If a person does a mitzvah the right way, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a gzera, mevatla, Hashem will be mevatla for him. How do you know that? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Basher dvar melech shultoin, so if the melech decides something's going to happen, who can override the gzeira of the melech? But right at next to that, the pasuk says, it's the very next pasuk. The next pasuk is shomer mitzvah. So you see, if someone shomer mitzvah, even something that nobody can override, we'll be over it. If you have two Talmidei Chachamim that listen to each other in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hashem also listens to them. Meaning they're not just talking over the other one. They're listening to each other. The pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to listen. And let's say two people are learning together and they're not giving each other the right covet. They're not noyuk. Covet zebezeh. They cause the Shechina to go away. Shenemar. The pasuk says, it's the next pasuk. Barach doidi udmelecha. Says the Gemara Vayta. Amarab Abba, Amarab Shimon ben Lakish. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim hamadgilim zebezeh lahalacha. They come together and they say, let's learn together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oyevan Hashem loves them. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Heviyani al beis hayayin, that's Torah, vidiglu alay ahava. So it causes to ahava. If they're vidiglu, they gather together, then it's going to be ahava. Amar Rava, Rava says, Vudi adi tzurus of the shmai. That's only true if these two Talmidei Chachamim know how to learn. But if they don't have a tzurus of the shmai, so they don't even know the basics of learning, then it's not so special they're learning. Additionally, Gudul Esle Rabbi B'Masa, it's also something they don't have a Rebbe to learn from. But two Talmidei Chachamim that have a Rebbe that can teach them, and they, for whatever reason, don't want to listen to what he has to say, then again, even though they're learning nicely, but they're missing out so much from not going to hear Torah from this Rebbe that can help them, so it's not a good thing. Amrab Abba, Amrab Shem ben Lakish. Godol hamalva yoisim en oisit tzedakah. To lend somebody money is more chashev than to give somebody tzedakah. Umatol bekis yoisim mikulon. To invest money with somebody is even more chashev than loaning money to someone. So there's three levels of tzedakah. The lowest level is to actually give him tzedakah. The next level is to loan him money. It's more bakavadik. The third level, the highest level, is to invest with him. Person has a business, he's struggling. He says, let me make an investment with you. Why? Why is that more chashev? So the Marsha says that usually people will loan more than they'll give, and people will invest more than they'll loan. So it's the classiest, it's the most bakavadik way of helping somebody, and chances are bekamos as well, quantitative. So qualitatively, it's the finest way to give tzedakah, and quantitatively, it's the finest way to give tzedakah as well. Abba, Amrab Shem ben Lakish. If a Talmud Chacham noikim v'noiter kenachash, if a Talmud Chacham is noikim v'noiter kenachash, meaning he's feisty, chagreyo amasnecho, meaning even if he's you shouldn't necessarily look for a Talmud Chacham that's going to take a bite out of you, but even if he is, it doesn't matter. Chagreyo amasnecho, you should attach yourself to him. Im ama oretz, but if you know an ama oretz, even if he's a chassid, al tada b'shchunasai, stay far away from him. There's so much to learn from a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not perfect, maybe, versus the negative you can learn from the Amma Aretz, even if he's a chassid. Now, how can the Amma Aretz be a chassid? Doesn't the Mishnah say, V'loy Amma Aretz chassid? Yeah, Amr Rav Kahana, Amr Rav Shem Ben Lakish, Rami Lo Amr Rav Asi, Amr Rav Shem Ben Lakish, Rami Lo Amr Rav Abba, Amr Rav Shem Ben Lakish, Kol Magadu Gadav Rabba Teich Beis, if somebody has a bad dog in his house, Maynei HaChassim Teich Beis, he causes that there shouldn't be chassid in his house. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Lomas, Meireyeyu Chassid. What does it do with dogs? She came Velosha in Yevanis, in Greek, Koyrin lekelev lamas. So lamas, if you have a dog in your house, a kelev ra, a bad dog in your house, meireyeyu chesed, it's going to cause that you're not going to do chesed. Why? Someone's going to want to come to your house and the dog's going to start barking. It's going to make a gerida and the person's going to go away. So like this, it can end up being meineya chesed. If a person has a kelev ra can cause him to lose Yerushalayim. Shenema v'Yerushaka Yazik. Says the Gemara. He said there was a story with a woman. She went into her neighbor's house to bake. She wanted to borrow her neighbor's oven. So she came in and there was a dog barking. It's Akrav Lada. She was pregnant and she miscarried her child. So the balabas, the owner of the house, told the woman, by the way, you know, I know you may be afraid of this dog. You have nothing to worry about. I already took out his fangs. I took out his teeth. I took out his claws. He can't harm you. Amalei says, she told him, thanks, but no thanks. Or the way they used to say it, you could take your toiva v'shadyach hizri and throw it on the thorns. That was an expression. Look in the Maseres Hashas. So apparently it appears a lot. So this was an often used slang. The point was that it's a little too late because she already had miscarried the child. What's pshat in the pasuk in Koheles? Shlomo HaMelech said, "Smach bachar b'yaldu secha." He said, "A bachar, you should be happy. You know, drink and be merry. Enjoy life when you're young. V'yativcha lipcha b'mei b'churei secha. V'halech b'darchei lipcha v'marei einecha." Basically, Shlomo HaMelech seems to be telling a bachar to do everything he's not supposed to do. Right? V'da. But remember, ki al kol eila yiviyachu alekim b'mishpat. That for everything that you do, one day, you're going to have to give din v'cheshbin. Says the Gemara. The first part of the pasuk. Smach bachar b'yaldu secha v'yativcha lipcha b'mei b'churei secha v'halech b'darchei lipcha v'marei einecha v'dakki al yadkan devri yitzhar. That's all the Yitzhar are talking. The second part of the pasuk, v'da, you should remember yikyal kolelu yiviyachol lekim ha-mishpat divrei yetzer tov. That's the yetzer tov talking. So it's true. It sounds like two different voices that a person hears in his head sometimes. Smach bachar b'yaldu secha, but at the same time, v'da yikyal kolelu yiviyachol lekim ha-mishpat says the Gemara. It's precisely what it is. The first half of the pasuk is the yetzer. Ra, the Yetzer Hara tells you, enjoy yourself. And then the Yetzer Tov says, listen, you know, I understand, but you know, one day you have to be mechashev, this char mitzvah keneged hefseidon, the hefseid haveira keneged. The point is, the first half of the pasuk is the Yetzer Hara, the second half of the pasuk is the Yetzer Tov. Shlokish Amar, Shlokish said, ad kan ledivrei toiro, mikan ve'ilach, lemasin toivim. The beginning of the pasuk is divrei toiro. Smach bachar b'yaldu secha. What's the most geshmaka thing for a bachar to do? Steig away, to learn toiro. But the end of the pasuk is, you have to read the fine print. If you know a lot of Torah, it comes with a responsibility. Because the more you know, the more you have to do. It's very hard to plead insanity if you know everything. So you can't say, oh, it's a Mishnah Berurah. I didn't realize that. What do you mean? You take a test on Mishnah Berurah, you know it. So, smach bachar b'yaldu secha, steig away. But the more you learn, the more of a Talmud Chacham a person is, the more that's expected from him. And that's the point. V'daki al kolela, yiviyach alakim ha-mishpat. We'll get back to this as well. But just one more Gemara. Biris Tahira. Completely different topic. So the Mishnah said that if a woman wears a garter, number one, Tahira, it's not mekabel tumah. Number two, v'yaitzim ha-b'shabbos. She's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Kvalim, the Mishnah said, are tmeim. Ve'ein yoytzen behem b'shabbos, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, biris zu atzada. Biris is an atzada. So an atzada was a piece of jewelry that women would wear around their arm. So Rav Yehuda said, that's what this biris is. Masa Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, can't be, because biris tahira. V'yaitzeba b'shabbos. The Mishnah says that a biris is tahira. V'il atzada. If it's atzada, if it's a piece of jewelry, t'meya, it's a keli. If it's a keli, why shouldn't it be mekabel tumah? Someone says, no. What he meant to say was like this. Biris tachas atzada imedes. That what women would do is they would wear an atzada, and underneath the atzada, they would put the biris. Biris is not the atzada, but rather it was something that was put underneath the atzada. The atzada is a keli. It's a tachshid. It's mekabel tumah. It's the biris that's not mekabel tumah. Yosef Ravin v'Ravuna kamed Rav Yirmiyah. Yosef Rav Yirmiyah became a namnei. So Ravin Ravuna was sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah, and Rav Yirmiyah was falling asleep. He was drimling. The Yosef Ravin became. Ravin said the following. He said biris ba'achas kvalim b'shtayim. He said, a biris is a garter that a woman wears on one foot. Kvalim, which the Mishnah said that we didn't define yet, is the same thing, it's just on 2 feet. Amalei Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, I disagree. Elu ve'elu b'shtayim. The biris and the kvalim, they're both on both feet. Umatilin shalsheles beineyem v'nasin kvalim. Meaning, what happens is, women would wear garters. Thank you, Arya. So she would have a garter on her right foot, a garter on her left foot, and sometimes what they would do is they would have a chain that would attach the two garters together. So the birises are the two garters, the kvalim is the chain that puts it together. So essentially what the Mishnah is saying is, the biris itself is tahira, the chain, however, is tami. Why should the chain be a keli? The chain, all it's doing is it's keeping it together. It sounds like it's tuffel to the biris. The biris itself is tahir, it's not makabel tumah. So why would you think the kfalim is makabel tumah? The chitema says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Maybe Pshat is like Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. So we've seen Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni already in Masechta Shabbos. How do you know that if you have something that makes noise, it's considered a keli? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, kol davar ashe yavoi ba'esh, taviru ba'esh. And we learn from here, kol davar ashe yavoi ba'esh, afilu dibur b'mashma. Even something whose whole significance is that it makes noise, even that is considered a keli. So he said, bishleima, meaning, so maybe that's why it's considered a keli. But he told him that can't be the reason. Meaning, you can't tell me that because these chains make a little bit of noise, they rattle, so that's why it's considered a keli, that's why it's mekabel tumah. The garter is not mekabel tumah. The chain is there to just keep it together, but it makes noise. Maybe that's why it's mekabel tumah. Because bishleima, hasam kabay le'lekal le'vekavit ma'isa. Ordinarily, when we say that something that makes noise is mekabel tumah because it has a chashivas of a keli by virtue of the fact that it makes noise, that's only if it's lekala, it's for the koil. But hacha, my maisa kavet, over here there's no maisa at all, it doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, no, hacha nami kavet maisa, there was a significance to the change. Amar Rabba Barba, Chana Rabbi Yochanan, Mishpachas Achas Hayis B'Yushalayim, there was one family in Yerushalayim, Shehoyu P'siyoisei and Gasois. Naturally, they used to, when they walked, they took very broad strides, and it caused them to lose their besulim. Asu lehem kvalim. So what they did is they made chains. Like this, they wouldn't take these very wide strides. And this caused that their psulim shouldn't fall out. The point is, these chains actually were significant. And being that they were significant, they were accomplishing something, that's why they're mekabel tumah. The Gemara says, as the Amiram were having this exchange, if you remember, the beginning of the story was Yosef Ravin v'Rafuna kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Gemara says, "Itubu Rabbi Yirmiyah." Rabbi Yirmiyah suddenly woke up. Right, he was falling asleep. Amar Luhuzi, he turned to them. He said, "Yeyasher, you're saying good." And by the way, v'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. Exhale. So three ha'aras, three light ha'aras, as it relates to today's daf. The first ha'ara is the Gemara had said. The Rav Kahana said, "Kedavina bar Tamni Sri, I was 18 years old. I had finished the entire shas. But I didn't know the most basic principle, and that is the a mikra yoytze midei pshuta yatash. I didn't know this idea of a mikra yoytze midei pshuta. In other words, if you go through." Shas. So there's so many drushes where Chazal took a pasuk and seemed to have extracted a halacha that's certainly not the pasuk shot in the pasuk. And Rav Kahana thought that wherever the Chachamim made a drusha, it means that the pasuk shot isn't necessarily true, meaning it's the drusha. The Torah said what it said as a mashal, but the nimshal is really the drusha. But the pashup shot in the pasuk really has no halachic significance. He said he was 18 years old, and this is when he finally discovered it. Marcel, why was this important? Because this teaches a person that sometimes you can learn, even if you don't fully understand. So I just want to share with you one ha'ara that I saw in the Sefer Daf al Daf from Rab David Mandelbaum. He brings this from the Marsham. This is a tshuva that the Marsham wrote. It's not printed in the Shailos Tshuvas Marsham. Rather, it was printed in a Koivitz Kerem Shloima. Shana Gimel, Kuntres Gimel, Amid Yud Zayin, if you want to look it up. Either way, the tshuva of the Marsham was as follows, but before that, just one hakdama, and really one apology, one public announcement, and that is that 2 days ago, we mentioned that Rabbi Yochanan was a Kohen. We spoke at a classic Meshachachma, and the end of the classic Meshachachma, we made a shtickle, I did, based on the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was a Kohen. So, it was a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan's not a Kohen. Now, the reason I thought Rabbi Yochanan was a Kohen, not that it matters, but it's geschmack. The reason I thought Rabbi Yochanan was a Kohen is because the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan lo yaleinu lost 10 sons. Rabbi Yochanan had 10 sons, and he buried 10 sons. And he used to walk around with the bone of his 10th son, and he would be Menachem Avelim. He would give people chizik. He would tell them, Dein garma tasiroi bir. This is the bone of my 10th child. And he would give people chizik. He said, I know you're going through a difficult situation, but look at what I went through. He would say, he buried 10 sons, and that's the way he would give people chizik. This is the great Rabbi Yochanan. All his Torah, but look at the chesed that he did. The Nichum Avelim of Rabbi Yochanan. And all the Rishonim are bothered with a kasha, that how could Rabbi Yochanan walk around with a bone? I don't understand. If you walk around a bone, you become Tameh. Rabbi Yochanan was Metameh himself, and Rashi in Brachas Tafei seems to pavarn the kasha. The Shita Mekubetzes, the Aruch, the Rishonim are all bothered with this kasha. So I assume that if the Rishonim were bothered with the fact that how could Rabbi Yochanan be Metameh to a mace, presumably it's because Rabbi Yochanan was a Kohen. But it was a mistake. If you take a look at the Aruch says very, very clearly, I meant to bring it with me. Another mistake. But the Aruch says that Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Ish Kadosh, how is it possible that he allowed himself to be Tameh? Meaning a Kohen is not allowed to become Tameh. But the Kedoshim and the Tahirim, they used to eat Chulim B'Tahira. That's what a Chadar was. People were very careful not to become Tameh. The Kasha was never that Rabbi Yochanan was a Kohen. The Kasha was that an Ish Kadosh like Rabbi Yochanan, how is it possible that he reduced it? In fact, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan used to sit in front of the mikveh, and when women would come in and out of the mikveh, they would see Rabbi Yochanan, and they would see what a handsome person he was, Shufrei de Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara says that people asked Rabbi Yochanan, not worried about an ayin hara. So he told them, I have nothing to worry about, because I know Mizara de Yosef Kasino. He said, I come from Yosef Atzadik, the Loisholta Beyeno. So at first glance, it would see that Rabbi Yochanan came from Shevet Yosef. I'm not saying that I know he did, just putting it out there. But regardless, it seems from the Rishonim, after further review, in Mesechtes Brachas Tafei, the Rabbi Yochanan was very much not a Kohen. Now I want to tell you someone else that wasn't a Kohen, Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana also wasn't a Kohen. And at first glance, it sounds like a chiddush. You would think, with the name Rav Kahana, right? Most people, Kahana and Kohen, are Kohanim. Rav Kahana, this was a first name, but he wasn't a Kohen. Truth is, the Gemara says in the Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, that Rav Kahana once took Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara has a discussion that Pidyon HaBen has to be worth 5 Shloim. So what if somebody has something that to him is worth more than it's really worth? Meaning something that's worth to the average man a pruta, but Lididi Achshavali, for me, this is very valuable. I need this to fill a collection. It's more Choshev to me than maybe it is to somebody else. And for the Kohen, it's worth 5 Shloim. Can he take it or can he not take it? That's the context. This is a Gemara in Mesechtes Kedushin, Perek Isha Niknis, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says Rav Kahana shakal sudra. He wants like a sudr. A sudr is not worth 5 shloim. He took a sudr bepidyon haben. Says Tosfos, mash mahoch, it's mashma from here. The Rav Kahana are you kohen? If he was taking pidyon haben, it sounds like he was a kohen, right? Rav Kahana. But Tosfos says v'teimo, I have a raya from the Gemara Psochim Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph that he wasn't a kohen. Says Tosfos, yesh loimar, that is true. Really, Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. So what was he doing taking Pidyon HaBen? He says, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin, that Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that a Kohen is allowed to take Matnas, a person is allowed to take Matnas Kohuna, if his wife is a Bas Kohen. It's a Chiddush. But it's a Gemara Chulin. Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. If somebody marries the daughter of a Kohen, he's allowed to take Matnas Kohuna. Rav Kahana wasn't a Kohen. But Rav Kahana was married to a Bas Kohen. And because Rav Kahana was married to a Bas Kohen, it's for that reason Rav Kahana was allowed to take Pidyon HaBen. The Marsham wrote a tshuva. And in the tshuva, he said a very big chiddush. He said that I hold that a Bas Kohen has to be very careful not to marry an Am Haaretz. A Bas Kohen, again, looking at it from the girl's perspective, her father's a Kohen. A Bas Kohen is not supposed to marry an Am Haaretz. So no one wants to marry an Am Haaretz. But a Bas Kohen should be extra careful. A Bas Kohen is not supposed to marry an Am Haaretz. This is what the Marsham wrote. And somebody wrote back to the Marsham. He says, if that's the case, a Bas Kohen shouldn't be able to get married Bizman Hazeh. And he started varfing, because the Beis Yosef says that there's no Talmidei Chacham in Bizman Hazeh. It's in the context of the halacha that if someone embarrasses a Talmud Chacham, so he had to pay once upon a time a fine. He had to pay a knas. It's called the litra de dahava. And the Beis Yosef says there's no litra de dahava bizman hazeh. Why? Because there's no Talmid Chacham bizman hazeh. So he told the Marsham, he said, according to you, Rav Shvadron, and the Marsham, it's going to come out, a Bas Talmid Chacham can't get married. Because if a Bas Talmid Chacham has to marry an Am Haaretz, and it's not possible there's no Talmid Chacham bizman hazeh. So if she has to marry a Talmid Chacham, there's no Talmid Chacham. How are you going to get married? So Marsham wrote back to this yid. And the first thing he told him was, he says that when I got Gaya responds, Loi pasak chuka mipu mikula yoima. I couldn't stop laughing the whole day. So you're right. I had a smile on my face the whole day. She writes a lassis, kola oilam na ameya aretz. You want to make the whole world into ameya aretz? That's not what the Beis Yosef meant over there in Yeridei. What he said, there's no litra de dahava. It's true, there's no litra de dahava. There's certain halachas that are negeya tamid chachamim that you have to be, have a certain ranking of a Talmud Chacham. That's not something we have as man hazeh. But there's something called an ameya aretz today, and there's something called the Talmud Chacham today, and you know what I meant, and you know what I didn't mean. And he said, I meant to say that a Bas Talmud Chacham doesn't have to marry the clinical, technical definition of an Am Aretz in Yoridei, a Talmud Chacham in Yoridei. I meant to say is that she's supposed to marry a Ben Taira, and supposed to marry a Talmud Chacham. And then the Mashan wrote back to this Yid that you should know that as I was thinking about my response, I thought of a Pshad in a Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav Kahana was 18 years old. He had finished Gantz Shas. He finished Shas already, but he went through it really, really fast. He went through it so fast that there were certain basic things he didn't know. He didn't even know Ein Mikra Yoytze V'Dei Pshutai, and the Gemara says Kamash Malon, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But he had overlooked a lot of things. And the Marsham said, I never understood why Rav Kahana have to learn through Shas so fast. He went through it. By 18, he had to finish Shas already. He says, but yes, Vashteich Vavas, because Rav Kahana was married to a Bas Koyen. How do I know that? It's a Tosfos. Masechtas Kedushin Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Rav Kahana took Pidyon HaBen. Why? Not because he was a Kohen, but Rav Kahana took Pidyon HaBen because his wife was a Bas Kohen. When does a person get married? It's a Mishnah Novus. Shmoina Esra L'chuppa. So Rav Kahana wanted to make sure that he was going to be a Talmud Chacham when he turned 18 years old, so that he could stand under the chuppa and he could marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, a Bas Kohen. So that's why Rav Kahana finished Shas at the age of 18, because he wanted to be a Talmud Chacham. He wanted to be able to be a Baki the Shas. Like this, he'd be able to get married to his wife, his Bashert, who of course was a Bas Kohen, like Tosfos says in Kedushin Daf Ches Amud Aleph. Either way, that's the first aura. The second aura is, in the beginning of the daf, we had a machloikis between Shmuel and Rav Chiya bar Rabba. Shmuel said, Ein beino oilam azel yimois ha-mashiach, el shibud golius bovad. Rav Chiya bar Rabba said, I disagree. Yimois ha-mashiach and oilam azel are going to look very, very different. In fact, all the nevois that the Nevi'im said, all the nechamois that the Nevi'im talked about, how at some point in the future, there'll be no wars, the wolf and the lamb are going to live together, people are going to have tremendous arichos. So everything that you've read about, that's all describing Yimois ha-mashiach. Meaning, we have a fundamental machloikis between Shmuel and Rav Chiya bar Rabba, two gedolei amayron, what Yemois HaMashiach are going to look like. Animanu b'bunah shalem b'viyas HaMashiach. V'afal pi sheyisma meya, im kol zeh achakul b'chol yom sheyov. But what's Yemois HaMashiach going to look like? Everybody wants to know. What is Yemois HaMashiach going to look like? The answer is, it's a Gemara, Shabbos Samach Gimel Amin Aleph. This Gemara is also mentioned in Brachas Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. It's a machloikis Shmuel and Rav Chiya bar Rabba. According to Shmuel, Mashiach is going to come, the world is going to look pretty much the way it looks right now. According to Rav Chiya bar Rabba, it's going to look very, very differently. In fact, it's going to be a supernatural world. It's going to be the world of Elo Yisa, Goyal, Goy Cherev, Velo Yilmudu, Oid Milchama, etc., etc. The Rambam, in Hilchis Tshuva, in Perek Zayin, discusses Yemois HaMashiach. And the Rambam says as follows. Says the Rambam, Omru Chachonim, Kol HaNeviyin Kulon Loi Nesnavu, Elul Yemois HaMashiach. All the nevois that the Nevi'im talked about is Negei Yemois HaMashiach. The Rambam's in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin. Amru Chacham again, Kol HaNeviyim Kulam Loi Nesnavu, Elul Yemois HaMashiach. Problem is, the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Tes. So that was Perek Ches, Halacha Zayin. In Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, the Rambam again talks about Yemois HaMashiach. It says the Rambam, the Kfar Amru Chacham Emar Yishoinim, Ein Bein Ha'olam Azel Yemois HaMashiach, Rambam says it again in Perek Yud Beis in Hilchas Malachim. Again, the Rambam's talking about Yemois HaMashiach, and the Rambam says again, Ein Bein Yemois HaMashiach Le'olam Hazeh Ela Shibud Malchias Bovad. In other words, we have a Stiras HaRambam. On the one hand, the Rambam says in Perek Ches Hilchas Tshuva, Amru Chachamim Kol HaNeviim Kulam Loi Nesnavu Elu Yemois HaMashiach. You want to know what Yemois HaMashiach is going to look like? Rav Chiya bar Rabba, Shabbos Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Rav Chiya bar Rabba, Brachas Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. Read the Nevi'im, and you'll understand a little bit what your Moshe HaMashiach is going to look like. Your Moshe HaMashiach is going to be a completely different existence. And then the Rambam, literally, you turn one page. In Perik Tes, Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, V'kvar Omru Chachamim HaRishonim, Ein Beino Oilem Hazel, Your Moshe HaMashiach, Elo Shibud Malchiyos Bilvad, and Kame Kumasen Nishtabru, many inkwells went dry, trying to reconcile this obvious, blatant steer in the Rambam. The Rambam literally, from an Amid Aleph to an Amid Beis, in two pages, in Yad Chazaka, the Rambam contradicted himself. In one place, the Rambam passed like Shmuel, Ein Bein Oilem Hazel, Yemois HaMashiach, Elot Shibud Malchias Bovad. In another place, the Rambam passed like Rabchia Barabba, Amru Chachamim, Kol HaNeviim Kulam Leinesnavu, Elot Yemois HaMashiach. You want to know what Mashiach is going to look like? Read the Neviim. There's a beautiful teretz for a Meir Simcha. This is our fourth classic Meshech Chachma of the week. But there's a beautiful teretz for a Meir Simcha, Meshech Chachma, in Parsha Shoiftim, but it requires a very, very brief introduction. And that is, the Gemara says in Perek Chelek, Masech de Sanhedrin, Dav Tzadik Chesam and Aleph, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Ram, Yishua ben Levi Astek Sirik. Stiv, the Pasuk says, Be'itam. V'ksiv achishenu. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Samach. It says v'hakotun yir le'elef v'hatsoir le'goy otzim. The cotton, Klai Yisrael, we're a small nation today, but one day we're going to be le'elef. V'hatsoir is going to be le'goy otzim. Ani Hashem be'ita achishenu. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi Rom, he asked the stira. He said be'ita sounds like Hashem is going to redeem us when be'ita, in the appropriate time. Achishenu sounds like it's going to happen quickly. Achishenu. It's going to happen very, very fast. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi Rami, Ksiv it says be'ito, v'ksiv achishenu. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi said like this, Zachu, if the Yidden are zoicha, meaning if we do Torah mitzvahs and we merit Mashiach coming, then we're going to be zoicha tachishenu. It's going to happen really, really fast. Loi zachu, however, if we're not zoicha, then be'ito. Then it's going to happen be'ito. Meaning there's a time that Mashiach is supposed to come. There's the Bikesh Yaakov Legalus HaSaketz. There's a time that was predestined from the beginning of days that this is when Mashiach is going to come. However, it doesn't have to be then. There's Be'ita, but there's also Achishenu. Hashem can come sooner, but Hashem's only going to come sooner if Zachu. We'd have to merit it. So if we do what we're supposed to do, then Mashiach can come before he's supposed to come. Meaning there's a time of Bias HaMashiach, which is Be'ito, and then there's a time of Bias HaMashiach, which is Achishenu. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara tells a story. The Gemara says, Reb Shua ben Levi, Ashkecha le'Eliyo. Reb Shua ben Levi met Eliyo HaNavi. And the Gemara describes some of the exchange that he had with Eliyo HaNavi. One of the things that Reb Shua ben Levi asked Eliyo HaNavi was, he told him, Eimas Asi Mashiach. He said, tell me, when is Mashiach coming? Amalei. So Eliyo HaNavi told Reb Shua ben Levi, you want to know when Mashiach's coming? Zil Shaylei. This Gemara is a classic. He said, go ask him. He says, why don't you go talk to him? He said, ask him, Ve'hecha Yosef. He said, where is he? So he told him, Apischa de Karta. He said, he's by the gates of Rome. You'll find him there. And he told him, you want to know what he looks like? He said, he's a chayla. And he sits there together with the chaylim. And he puts his bandages on. And he takes them off. Mashiach is going to be someone that's going to be noiser ba'oil of Klai Yisrael. He's someone that's going to feel the pain of all the yid and of all the chaylim. That's what Mashiach is. Mashiach's a chayla. He says, you want to know what Mashiach is? He's in the depths of all the tzaras of Klai Yisrael. He says, that's what Mashiach is. He says, you can go find him. So Shmuel Levi was so excited. He goes to the gates of Rome. Eliyahu Navi had told him what to look out for. So he finds him and he goes over to Mashiach and he says, are you Mashiach? So he said, yeah. So Mashiach turns then, he notices, he says, Shalom Aleichem, Meiri Rebbe. He was so excited. He says, wow, Meiri Rebbe, Amalei. So Mashiach told Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Shalom Aleich Bar Levi. He knew who he was. He said, Shalom Aleich Bar Levi. Amalei. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi was startled and he tells Mashiach, he says, tell me, Le'emas Asimar. He said, when are you coming? Amalei. So he told him, Hayoyim. He said, I'm coming today. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi was so excited. Eliyahu HaNavi is coming. The Gemara says, the next day, Rabbi Shua ben Levi went back to Eliyahu HaNavi. Asa legab Eliyahu. Amalei, he told him, my Amalach. He says, did you meet Mashiach? He said, yeah. He said, what did he tell you? He says, he told me, Shalom Alecha Bar Levi. That was the first thing he told me. Amalei, he says, if he called you by your name, and not just that, your father's name as well, Eftechach Olochu Lavuch La'anu Da'asi. That means it's guaranteed that you're going to merit a portion of the world to come, and your father's going to merit a portion of the world to come. Mashiach should call you Bar Levi. You realize what a schus that is? He said, yeah, Gavaldik, I appreciate it. He says, but I have one problem. Eliyahu HaNavi said, what's the problem? He said, Shkurei Kashaka, but he lied to me. He says, how did he lie to you? He says, I asked him when you're coming. And he said, I'm coming today. And he says, the day came and went for Layasa. He didn't come. So Navi told Rav Shmuel ben Levi. He said, Rav Shmuel ben Levi, you don't understand what he meant. He said, Hayoim. The Hayoim is the beginning of a pasuk that starts with the word Hayoim. Hayoim and Bekoilei Tishmo. What he was telling you was that in Bekoilei Tishmo, that if you're gonna listen to the words of Hashem, then you can merit Achishena. Hashem's ready to come today. Today, at Mashiach is. But in Bekoilei Tishmo, it's only in Bekoilei Tishmo. There's Be'ita, there's the Gvul, there's the time that was set in stone from the beginning of days of when Mashiach's going to come. But at the same time, that's the Be'ita. If we're Zoicha, however, then it could be Achishena. Says Rav Meir Simcha in Mesha Chachma, Adover Nifla. He says, it could be, that the Stira, but in the Ramban, the machlokes between Shmuel and Reb Chiya bar Abba, as it relates to what Yemos HaMashiach is going to look like, the Rambam held as Nishkai machlokes. The Gemara says, Upligo, you have to work it out with the Gemara. Offline. But for now, says Rav Meir Simcha, the Rambam paskin Shmuel and the Rambam paskin Reb Chiya bar Abba. It's a contradiction. How could you bring Shmuel Reb Chiya bar Abba? Either Yemos HaMashiach is going to look like Ein Bein Oilam Hazel Yemos HaMashiach Elo Shibut Golias Bavad, but other than that, people are still going to need swords. Or it's the wolf and the lamb are going to live together. It's going to be one supernatural, spectacular existence. Says Rav Meir Simcha, it's not a stira. The two Rambams were talking about two different Kufos HaMashiach, two possibilities of when Mashiach may come. Meaning, Mashiach, if he comes be'ito, then Yemos HaMashiach will look one way. If Mashiach comes achishena, then it's going to look differently. Meaning, there was a time that was set in stone when this is the time that Mashiach has to be here. If Mashiach comes be'ito, you know what it's going to look like be'ito? It's going to look like Reb Chiya bar Abba. Kol ha'neviim kulam lo'y nesnavu elo li'yemos HaMashiach. There's a time that's called Yemos HaMashiach that's part and parcel of the Bria. When Hashem created the world, He programmed the Tkufa called Yemos HaMashiach. And that Tkufa, Yemos HaMashiach, is a whole different world. That's the world that the Nevi'im were able to tap into a little bit through their prophecy. That's the Tkufa of Kol HaNevi'im Kulam Lo'y Nesnavu Elul Yemos HaMashiach. But there's something else. And that's called Achishena. That's called Hayoy Me'emasai Ka'asi Mar today in Bekoy Lo'y Sishmo. If Mashiach came today, that Mashiach would look like Shmuel's Tkufa. Then it'd be Ein Bein Oilam Hazel Yemos HaMashiach Elo Shibud Malchias Bilvad. Meaning, the Rambam, when he said Shmuel's Halach Ein Bein Oilam Hazel Yemos HaMashiach, he was describing Yemos HaMashiach in a world of Achishena. The Rambam, when he talks about Kol HaNeviim Kulam Lein Esnav Elo Yemos HaMashiach, the Rambam was describing a Tkufa of Yemos HaMashiach of Be'ito. Says Rav Meir Simcha, with this you can answer a kasha that always bothered me. The pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, Vim yarchiv Hashem alekecha es gvulcha, kasha nishba laviseicha, that one day Hashem says, Eretz Yisrael is going to be bigger than it is today. It's going to be bigger than Eretz Yisrael was when Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu by the Brisbane, I'm sorry. Vim yarchiv Hashem alekecha es gvulcha, and Hashem will give us all the lands He had promised us He was going to give us. Now, what does this mean? What it means is, it says Rashi, that by the Brisbane Absarim, Hashem promised Avram Avinu 10 nations, Chiti, Amori, Aprizi, Ayavusi, and the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni. Hashem promised Avram Avinu 10 nations. Lomaisa, when the Yidu went into Eretz Yisrael, how many nations did they conquer? 7. They didn't get 10, they only got 7. They got a deposit, but there's another 3. There's a balance that has to be paid. And Hashem says, I know that, and I'm going to pay it when Mashiach comes. I'm going to pay you loss of love. So it says the pasuk again, when Mashiach comes, that's what this pasuk is referring to. And Yarchiv, you're not just going to have the 7 nations, the borders are going to expand. There's going to be additional lands that will be annexed. We're going to get the Kini, the Knizi, and the Kadmoini. What's going to happen then? Kisishmar is called Mitzvah. You know what you have to do? You have to add another 3 cities. You have to make sure that you can have another 3 Ari Mikla. When the Yidu went into Eretz Yisrael, they had 6 Ari Mikla. Kiyarchiv, in the end of days, you're going to need another 3. Now, what was the purpose of the Ari Mikla? If somebody kills somebody, B'shoikig, he had to go to Golis. Where'd he run? He had to run to the Ir Miklat. Says the Pasuk that right now 6. But Ki Yarchiv, in the end of days, you're going to need another 3. Then you're going to have 9. Says Rav Meir Simcha, what's going on over here? When Mashiach comes, you're going to need an Ir Miklat? When Mashiach comes, there's going to be Ritzicha B'Shoigig. What happened to Lo Yisa Goy or Goy Cherev or Lo Yilma Duay Melchama? What happened to the Rabbin that says, Kol HaNaviyim Loi Nisnavu Eluli Mois HaMashiach? The wolf and lamb are going to live together. So why will there be Ritzicha B'Shoigig? Why are you going to have a near Miklat? Says Rameir Simcha. You know what the Pshat is? Read the Pasuk. This is classic Rameir Simcha. V'im Yarchiv Hashem Elokeches Gvul Chakach Nishbal Avisecha. V'nosan L'chos Kolores HaShadib L'chol Asleis. Why? The Torah adds a few words. Ki sishmar is kol ha-mitzvah azoyis la-soyis asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoim la-havas Hashem alekecha v'lelechis b'drach v'kol hayoim. You know why Mashiach is coming in this pasuk? Ki sishmar, because the Yidden did what they were supposed to do. Meaning, Mashiach didn't come be'ita. If you will be zoicha ki yarech v'Hashem alekecha z'gvulcha, Mashiach will come before the be'ita. He'll come achishena. He'll come hayoim in the koylei sishma, he'll come when it was zochu achishena. He'll come because ki sishma is kol hamitzvah azoyis. Oh, if it's gonna be achishena, then already that's the other Rambam. That's the Rambam ein beino olam hazeh. V'yumayis HaMashiach Elo Shibud Malchus Bovat. So says Rameh Simcha, this pasuk that describes Yumayis HaMashiach and says you're going to have an ir miklot. This is Shmuel, literally. This is Shita Shmuel. Ein bein oylem azel Yumayis HaMashiach Elo Shibud Malchus Bovat. Says Rameh Simcha, it's beautiful. That's why the pasuk threw Ki Sishmar Eskol HaMitzvah Azoyis Lasoysa Asher Noichi Mitzav Chayon. Because it's not just Mashiach's going to come whether we do mitzvahs or we don't do mitzvahs. Be'ita, there's a time Mashiach's going to come. But we could be Zoycha, Mashiach can come now. There's something called Zochu. Something called Achishen Ayoyim and Bekoyle Sishmo. That's what Mashiach told Rabbi Shua ben Levi. I'll come today, literally not tomorrow. Today in Bekoyle Sishmo. For that's Ki Sishma. It's called a mitzvah azoyis. That's Ein Bein Olam Hazeh. The Mois Hamashiach Eloshib and Malchias Bovad. That's why in that pasuk v'yosaf tolcha oyd sholish sharem al sholish eila. That's Rameir Simcha Meshachachma and Parashas Shoyft and Perik Yud Tes pasuk Yud pasuk Ches. That's the second Ha'ara. But one more Ha'ara. And that is, the Gemara had said, Gemara brought a whole bunch of different memories that really had nothing to do with the sugya that we're learning. It was just a digression, and a digression from the digression. And the Pasuk said, Amar Rav Huna, Maydech Ziv, what's Pshat on a Pasuk in Koheles? It says, Smach Bachar B'Yaldu Secha, V'tivcha Libcha B'Mei Bechuroi Secha, V'Halech B'Darchi Libcha U'V'Mari Enecha. Again, everything that a person is not supposed to do. Smach Bachar B'Yaldu Secha. I mean, literally, just do whatever you want. V'dat, but you should remember, Ki Al Kol Eli V'Yacha L'Kim B'Mishpat. So Rav Huna said, Pshat on this Pasuk, because it can't be this is all one voice talking. What it is a person has two voices. You have the Yetzirah, and you have the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah tells you, Smach Bachar B'Yaldu Secha, V'tivcha Libcha B'Mei Bechuroi Secha, V'Halech B'Darchi Libcha U'V'Mari Enecha. But then you have the Yetzirah. And the Yetzer Tov says, listen, I understand this is what you want to do. But Vidar, remember, Ki Al Kol Eila Yivyacha Alikim B'Mishpat. I once heard that the Dubna Magid asked the Kasha on this Pasuk. A cute question. He said, I don't understand. There's not enough Pesukim in Koheles that Shlomo HaMelech had to take the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov and wrap them together into one Pasuk. The first half of the Pasuk is the Yetzer Hara. The second half of the Pasuk is the Yetzer Tov. These are arch enemies. I mean, these are old opponents, and we have to wrap them in one pot. The first half is the Yetzahara, the second half is the Yetzatav. So the Dubna Magid said, I think Pshat in this pasuk is a little bit different, and he explained it, of course, with a mashal. He said there was once a poor person. The person was homeless. He had nowhere to live. He had no family. And in order to survive, he would travel from city to city. So he would come to a city, and he would go to the local shul. He would show up for Mincha Ma'ariv, and he would hope that somebody would host him and put him up. And this is the way this person survived. He would literally come to a city. He would be there for a few days, sometimes a week. And then afterwards, he would leave, and he would be on to his next destination. This Araman enters a city. He goes to the shul, and he's sitting around after Ma'ariv, waiting for someone to come over to him. And sure enough, somebody comes over with him, and he says, sir, I don't recognize you. Are you a guest? He says, yeah, who are you? He says, I'll tell you the truth. I wander, and this is what I do. I don't really have a home, and I was hoping that maybe somebody here would be able to put me up. So he tells him, does this man, you know, today's your lucky day. He says, it just so happens that in our city, we have a tremendous respect for people that visit our city. Not just that, we built a hotel. This is a 5-star hotel. If you want, I'll put you up there. This is where you're going to stay. This person couldn't believe it. So he comes, checks into this gorgeous hotel, beautiful lobby, beautiful suite. This was absolutely off the charts. He had never lived this way in his life. Anyways, he spends a week there. At the end of the week, he did what he always does. He packs his bag, he puts it in his pulley, and he starts checking out of the hotel. As he's checking out of the hotel, there's a doorman there who stopped him. And he told him, sir, he said, where are you going? He says, what do you mean? I was here for a week, and I'm checking out. He says, you can't just check out. What do you do? You can check into a hotel, spend a week here, and order room service and leave? It doesn't work this way. He says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. Anyways, he says, come with me to the front desk. He goes to the front desk. Person prints out an invoice. He gives him an invoice, $42,000. The person looks. He said, $42,000. What am I supposed to do? And this person was so confused. He didn't know what to do. See, he walks out. He starts walking around the lobby, and he's nabuch. He doesn't know how he's going to get out of this mess. And sure enough, he meets somebody. And a person sees him, and he says, sir, you look very concerned. You look perturbed. Maybe I can help you. So he tells him the story. He says, listen, I was fooled. I was duped. I was told that I could check into this hotel. I was clearly under the impression that this was on the house. And it turns out I just got left with this bill. I don't know what to do. So he looks at him and he says, let me ask you a question. Did anybody tell you to leave? He says, no. He says, then why are you checking out? He says, I don't know. I usually stay someplace for a week. He says, listen, let me give you a good piece of advice. He says, you can work for the rest of your life. You're not going to make $42,000. There's no way you're ever going to be able to pay this invoice. If you listen to me, check back in. Stay there as long as they let you stay. And when they give you a bill for $142,000, you'll worry about it then. He said, but for now, you might as well continue to rack up a bill. Because let's be honest, you can never pay this bill anyways. So you might as well just enjoy yourself as long as they're allowing you to stay in this hotel. So the Dubna Magid said, he said, this pasuk in Koheles is all the Yetzahara. Shlomo HaMelech didn't have to take a pasuk and bifurcate it into Adkan Divrei Yetzahara, and this part is the Yetzahara. He said, when a person's young, the Yetzahara comes to a person, and he tells him, Smach Bacha B'Yaldusecha, V'Tivcha Lipcha B'Mei B'Churaysecha, V'Halech B'Darchi Lipcha, U'V'Mari Einecha. He tells you to go and enjoy Olam Hazeh and follow your tithes and do everything that you're not supposed to do. You know what happens? A person gets older, and as he gets older, he starts realizing what's going on. I'm not going to live forever. And he gets to hear a tshuva, and maybe something happens in his life. And he chaps a tzitter, and he wants to do tshuva. You know what happens? The same Yetzirah comes over to the person, said the Dubna Magid, and this is what he tells you. He says, Vida. He says, who are you fooling? You're going to go now. You're going to do tshuva. You just racked up a huge bill. You have a $42,000 invoice you cannot pay. Vida, don't you realize, Ki al kol eile? On everything I had you do for the first part of your life, you're wasting your time. There's no point for you to do tshuva. In other words, check back into the hotel. Enjoy yourself while you're still here, while you're still care. Because if you're going to think about the next world, chaval al azman, because there's no way in the world you're ever going to be able to address it. So the Dubna Magid said, the whole pasuk is the Yetzahara. But in the first part of the pasuk, he's different Yetzahara. And that for the Yetzahara. And that pros. That's the way he talks to the person. He says, when you get angry, the person gets old, he comes from a different angle. He sounds a little like the Yetzirah, but he's playing a mind game with you. What he's doing is subconsciously, he's trying to get you to think that you can't do tshuva. And the Dubna Magid's punchline, of course, was that you have to remember that voice is also the Yetzirah. There's no such thing of Vidaki al Kolele Yaviyacha Lekimba Mishpat, and as a result, just rack up a bigger bill, because there's no way that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoy Moisei Techakale, Hashem waits for a person to do tshuva, even if he does tshuva on his deathbed. Shuv yoy mecha koydem misascha. Hashem is always mekabel shavim. There's no such thing that a person can rack up an invoice that's too big for him to be able to pay. Either way, this was the epic pshat that the Dubna Magid said. This Gemara.